This is the Living from God's Center podcast, episode 026. Be centered.
Welcome to your Living from God's Center podcast, supporting pastors and ministry leaders weekly to find your God space to live and serve God and others with confidence, peace, and joy. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is insearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. And now, with today's podcast, here's your host, Dr. Claire Smith, spiritual mentor and prayer coach.
Good day and welcome to today's episode, where we will be looking at, are you in? Something to live for, something to die for. I've always found the story of Martyrs fascinating, and this started in childhood. There were those books on the shelves at home, and from the titles, and then sometimes picking up out of curiosity and realizing what it was about. And then reading a couple of the shorter ones. I no longer remember the details of the stories I read way back then, but the sheer bravery has stuck with me. They had something to live for, but they also had something to die for. And then there's the story of John Smith, no relation, who was an English missionary in Demerara, now part of Guyana. He was of humble origins and a sickly disposition, but felt the call to be a missionary in the 18th century. He left the comforts of home, such as his station in life allowed, and traveled to this unknown place. He died in prison. Why? Because he would not fight with the militia to put down a slave rebellion. He couldn't, in good conscience, didn't, was imprisoned. Before they could fully take up his case in England, he died in prison, where the conditions were dank and his physical health could not take it. This was another story from my childhood and one I heard repeatedly at our annual assemblies. Later, I did my own research on it. These things stick. They are the stories of courage and selflessness. They are the stories of women and men who had their eyes on something, someone bigger than themselves. In these instances of which I speak, and many others, they had their eyes on God in Christ Jesus. It was about how they lived for Him and a willingness to die for this same Lord. In many ways, it is the story of the beginning of the church, because the church started with persecution, with imprisonment. There is also Martin Luther King Jr., who knew the risk he was taking but would not back down because of his Christian conviction, and like Moses of old, he saw the promised land. Something to live for, something to die for. Fast forward to today. There are countless numbers of our brothers and sisters in countries in the Middle East, the continents of Africa and Asia, who, in the face of death and torture, will not deny their Lord and Savior. There are even those who convert to follow Christ, knowing that they are basically signing their death sentence. I think of the story of the mother in Syria who told her children, after everything fell apart and they were going after the Christians, she told her children, even if they come to kill you, even if they come to kill us, don't deny Jesus. Instead, love and forgive them. And I hear the words of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 38, as it speaks of those who chose to live for our Creator God in the face of persecution and death before Christ. But yet, what is said in these scriptures continue to apply to our martyred brothers and sisters. And it reads, and what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained the promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground, of whom the world was not worthy. Indeed, they were seeking a different kingdom because they knew where their citizenship was. Something to live for. Something to die for. Are you in? Am I in? What is Jesus worth to us in this day and age? Those of us in the West and similar places where we are still free to go to worship and all those things. Yes, people do go into churches and shoot, but at this point, it is not an everyday occurrence. It is not a regular occurrence. Furthermore, no one has issued an edict that we cannot worship openly. We don't have hordes coming to tear our buildings down. But we have issues, don't we? What are they, these issues that we have? Somebody didn't like the sermon we preached. Somebody criticized us. Someone threw cold water on an idea we had. For some of us who are not leaders in the church, we're lethargic and slothful. Something to live for, something to die for. Our issues may seem big to us, but in the face of the persecution that so much of the church is facing, it pales. It is as nothing. In the face of the violence that so many face, in the face of this violence in which they still, before which they still tell others about Jesus, it really is nothing. And yet, we have issues. Strange, isn't it? People are telling others that Jesus makes a difference. People are telling others about the life they have received in Jesus and letting them know that they too can have this life. And they count their own lives as nothing in order to get this good news out. And we, too often, we back down. We are afraid or ashamed, it seems, to even whisper the name of Jesus outside of the church context. We don't want to seem pushy. We don't want people to think we are like whatever group of people that we have a problem with how they evangelize. We don't want to be seen as them. Excuses that beg the question, do we really have something to live for? There's a song that was popular some years ago, Something Worth Living For, and it goes, you may know it, life was shattered and hope was gone. Crushing the load that I bore, then out of the depths I cried, oh God, give me something worth living for. Did Dave Oldham, the writer, get something worth living for? He answers in the affirmative. Something more than my yesterdays, more than I had before, something more than wealth or fame, he gave me something worth living for. Here's the question. Has Jesus given us something worth living for? Is he making that kind of difference in our lives? If yes, how dare we keep it to ourselves if we're doing that? And if Jesus hasn't made that kind of difference, we've got a problem. Maybe our lives are a mockery of what we profess an empty shell, in which case we need to go to the altar, seek forgiveness, and seek new or renewed life in Christ. Something to live for. If we don't have something to live for, and we could say someone to live for, if we don't have someone to live for, how on earth will we have something to die for? Something to die for. This has been the church's witness from generation to generation, even as we profess that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 20. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. There's a lot there, isn't it? With Jesus Christ, everything is different. We are new. We have been reconciled to God, and all that comes with that, forgiven sins, eternal life, the whole package. And more than that, we have been given a powerful message for a hurting and dying world where so many are losing hope. How are we proclaiming it? How are we living it? Is it everything to die for? Where is the passion? Passion. It is so easy to lose it in the details of ministry. It is so easy to lose it in trying to please everyone and no one and God. Where is God? No God-centeredness, no passion. It is not that as human beings we don't have passion per se. People who shout at a football or baseball game have passion. People who show up week after week to the gym have passion. People who will not miss their favorite show have passion. People who play video games have passion. So where is the passion for Christ? Where's the passion that allows us to show up day after day to be in the presence of the one who is above all? Where's the passion that drives us to speak the gospel, to share it, to see others come to know this Lord? No God-centeredness equals no passion for Christ. Nothing to die for. You know, it's easy to look at the missionaries of bygone ages and criticize them. Yes, it's always easy to pelt stones at somebody else's house. Sure, they made mistakes, yes. Some were agents of their government, as happens today, wittingly and unwittingly because of internalized value systems and because of selling out. Yeah, people do that. But there were many who were genuine and forsook everything to bring a message of salvation, a message of hope, yea, a message of life to a dying world lost in sin and its consequences without a reconciling message of the gospel. Not reconciling people to people, as important as this is, and sometimes we get stuck there, but reconciling people to God, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and that's where we get life. They suffered, they died, and today we... What inconveniences are we willing to endure for the sake of the gospel? What would become of our ministries if our salaries were taken away? How would we then proclaim the gospel? Who is Jesus to us? What if after preaching the gospel, people deserted us as they deserted Jesus? And if you're working outside the church, What if you're asked to do something at your workplace that goes against God's desires, and to say no is to risk losing your job? Something to live for. Something to die for. Are you in? Am I in? So how do you know you have something to live for? For many, it is it's the passion in their lives, whether it be a person or things or a cause. And without that, people give up. So for you, is it the cause of Jesus Christ? Is it the life that you have in Christ? Are you ready to die? Last week in the interview with Patrick Moore, he talked about moving past ego, which is really death to self, which is essential for a life in Christ. But what about physical death? Here are some low threshold indicators that help to show where we stand on this question. And by the way, if we are not willing to die to self, I'm not sure we're even ready for the discussion about physical death. And to even have the capacity to fully understand what Christians in other parts of the world are suffering. But the low threshold indicators, how we deal with naysayers, is it always about us? How we look at the cross, is it an inconvenient thing that we have to put on the church, but we would rather not put it? Is it life? Because, you know, some people feel that if they didn't have the cross, they would get more people to come. Lord have mercy. How we deal with being the odd one out because we're taking a stand for Christ and living as God desires. Such a low threshold that doesn't even begin to scratch the surface. And if we can't get past these, here is a simple truth. When the hour of trial comes, it is only in God's strength we will overcome and hold fast to our faith and Savior. Before going to his trial and the cross, Jesus agonized in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane after all, and he drew his strength from God. However, we don't wait until the time of trial, then to cultivate and deepen our life in Christ, then to decide that no matter what, we are not denying Christ. There will be no time. And that's why it's important from now to live from God's center, to find ourselves in that place of deep communion with God in prayer, in God's word, meditating on that word. That's why we need to live the abiding life, abiding in Christ, the vine. From now, therefore, let's hold fast to Jesus and grow in him and say like the Apostle Paul, yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as a loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Philippians 3:7-11. If you have never experienced this new life in Christ, it's time. It's time to get on your knees before an almighty and loving God who has given you everything in Jesus. If you are no longer experiencing the joy, the fullness, the passion, it's time to go before this one who has given us his very self and say, like those of old, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The truth is, if we as leaders do not have something to live and die for, how dare we ask anyone else for any kind of commitment? If as Christians, Christ is not all to us, it's time to realign our passion. realign our passion. Something to live for. Something to die for. Are you in? Am I in? And now for a practical tip. It's going to be a little different this time because I'm just going to say, let's say a prayer to God. Think about if you were called to give your life for Christ now. Could you? And you know, if it's a no, that's fine. I think for most of us, we don't know. When the test comes, we really don't know. But from now, to pray that we would have the grace to be like those of old and those today who joyfully with songs give their lives, knowing that the hope we have is not just for today, but it's also for eternity. And so this life is just a doorway to being in the presence of the Lord. Show notes are where you'll get the, you can get the show notes. You'll see the link in the notes. And then remember, when you live from God's center, you're able to leave behind the stress, frustration, fatigue, and even burnout, and live and serve with confidence, peace, and joy. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and now it's time to center and soar. Until the next time, this is Claire Smith, spiritual mentor and prayer coach, signing off.
Thank you for joining us today on the Living from God Center podcast. Go forth and soar with confidence, peace, and joy in the power of the triune God.